Welcome to Healthcare Upside Down, a podcast by Becker's Healthcare and ECG Management Consultants, in which we'll explore the upsides and downsides of healthcare and the industry's most current trends. I'm Molly Gamble, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by two guests, Stuart Bacher, System Vice President of Provider Compensation Strategy and Design with Common Spirit Health, and Jamal Campbell, partner with ECG Management Consultants. Stuart and Jamal, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Great. Well, to get us started today, before we dive into this topic, which is a really timely one, can we first start by having you both introduce yourself in a bit more length, sharing a bit more detail about your roles and your organizations? Stuart, can I turn to you first?
Certainly. So as you mentioned, Molly, my name is Stuart Bacher. I serve as Assistant Vice President of Provider Compensation for Common Spirit Health. Common Spirit Health is one of the largest nonprofits in the country, has over 1,000 care sites, operates in 21 different states, and routinely provides care for close to 20 million patients. In my role, I really lead up the strategy on the national scale. We look at where we can focus on commonalities and we create alignment and orient toward value for the system as a whole.
Thanks, Stuart. Jamal, can I turn to you next?
Absolutely. So Jamal Campbell, I am a partner at ECG. I help lead our national physician compensation design practice and also our administration practice. And when we think about administration, it's the management of the entire compensation program within an organization. And that also includes when we think about technology and how that integrates in an organization and gets deployed as well.
Great. Well, like I said, this is a really interesting time to be exploring the topic of physician compensation, which is what we're setting out to do in our time together today. You know, the past few years, you've seen inflation, rising demand, workforce challenges, making this topic even more of a key concern for healthcare's finance leaders. What broader trends or patterns have really piqued your interest as of late related to physician pay and physician compensation? Stuart, can I turn to you?
Sure. When you think about these broader trends, I think that maybe two or three broader trends that would stick out to me, first and foremost, is service line rationalization. So you look and you say, where do we have areas of redundancy? Or is there a service offering that isn't really linked up to the and connected to our mission? And so it's something that we certainly need to examine to ensure that we're appropriately providing service, but we are not in an area creating redundancies that are creating cost inefficiencies or really sacrificing that margin. It has to be clearly linked to our mission, and we have to be able to support it for the long term to care for the communities that we have made a commitment to. One other thing, and just kind of noting this, is this increased need for flexibility. So you look at almost a generational gap and you say, earlier workers, earlier physicians, earlier APPs, and our administrators had a mentality and focus on maybe one way of working. And we're seeing that in some ways change. And so as we see that change and we look at in some way of responding to that, the question becomes, how do we respond to that? Is it embedding more teleservices? Is it flexible work arrangements? Is it introduction of different compensation models that may not be geared primarily toward production, but perhaps towards some other component of value or some other component of pay that recognizes that need for flexibility? So those are the two, Molly, that I would kind of bring to the forefront. I'd welcome to hear from Jamal what his thoughts are.
Absolutely. I think, Stuart, you're spot on with those. And the other two I'd want to add are related to workforce, because you hit on it with the providers, which is key. And what we're finding is when we think about flexible work environments, we're even seeing that a bit more when it comes to the compensation administration team within organizations. Before, let's say you had a health system based out of California, you had a manager of physician compensation, usually they were local people. There were always issues keeping and retaining your talented folks in those departments. But now what the pandemic has done is really shifted that. So now the recruitment has become national, even for those positions and roles within an organization. So you can have a management of provider compensation for an organization in California actually live in Arizona, live in Utah, but actually be tied back to that organization. So that's been a tremendous shift in what we're seeing when it comes to the management of overall compensation. another big trend we're seeing is the deployment of technology, and specifically compensation administration platforms. And I'm sure this will come up a bunch in our conversation today, but we're moving away from the traditional, okay, let's build our models, build our reports just based in Excel. We have to figure out ways to have it. And let's say we have a team member leave, that we still have those data and those reports housed in a constant location. And also to ensure we have consistency in the reports that we are generating and distributing to providers. So technology is a big trend, and the vast majority of organizations are looking at what platforms can make sense to actually make the administration of their various compensation plans manageable.
Jamal, thanks for hitting on that. I think the administrative side of things and the actual compensation design and the people that are creating those structures, you noted that even there's remote trends there. You also know the technology piece. And then Stuart, to go back to what you were sharing, you know, service line rationalization, addressing any redundancies. And then also you mentioned this increased need for flexibility. And my mind still goes to part-time or full-time. It sounds like from your remarks, there's a lot of gradients in between or around those two options. You hit on virtual care. You also hit on some incentive or comp plans that are tied to things other than productivity. Before we move on, are there any other pieces of flexibility worth mentioning for listeners?
I think that at least as we look at flexibility, we recognize that as preferences change, organizations absolutely have to respond. It's not an elective where we can choose whether we respond. It's an absolute necessity given the fact that we have provider shortages, we have administrative shortages. And so the need, as Jamal mentioned, to look at talent where they live and to create a way in which we can engage them and we come to them as opposed to them come to us is something that is absolutely essential to continue to provide services in our communities.
Jamal, I'm going to turn to you for your first thoughts on this next question, then we'll hear from Stuart. But let's hear about some of the models that are still most popular or of increasing popularity today that are used for physician compensation. And then as you're walking us through those, you know, please include your commentary too, any observations you have given your subject matter expertise, particularly about the administrative challenges that these popular models might present.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's funny is about 5 to 10 years ago, if you asked this question, I think almost everyone would say, hey, we need productivity-oriented models. And the more productive a provider is, we need to be able to pay them more for that productivity. And so we found all these intricate models, you know, tiered models, decelerated tiers, or accelerated in a combination of accelerated and decelerated tiered models. What's interesting about those models is why it was intended to encourage an increase in productivity. It did increase some administrative challenges, right? If you can imagine what it's like to try to adjudicate and reconcile the complex compensation formulas that exist. And what we're seeing a lot of organizations push for now is, can we actually simplify it? We still care about productivity, but what, maybe we don't need to have a multitude of tiering, right? Because it makes it hard to manage. Maybe we need to go back to look at more salaried or base salary with some incentives driven there, which, you know, there's some intricacies when you think about going to a base salary amount and specifically how an organization deals and manages the operations of a provider practice when you go to a base salary versus it being a completely at-risk based compensation model. So we see that happen. Organizations pushing towards salary-driven model. But we're also seeing some organizations go back to, you know, the origins of the physician practice, which is revenue less expense models. I think what they realize is that, hey, we may not be able to drive the operations of the practice, or maybe we don't have the appropriate folks in place to really manage it. Let's put the operations and the governance of the practice back in the hands of the individual providers. And we do have some organizations going back to the way that was done, which again takes us back to what historically you would focus on as the independent practice model.
That's really helpful, Jamal. So it sounds like productivity still matters, but there's growing appetite for simplification. Stuart, are you seeing something similar? What's coming up for you at Common Spirit in terms of the most popular models? And then also if there's any challenges worth noting about what those models can bring.
So, you know, interestingly enough, as Jamal mentions, the migration back to almost a quasi-private practice model, we don't see that movement all the way to the kind of the near end of the spectrum. But those kind of core philosophical tenets of why you would introduce that model are present. So financial sustainability, simplicity, we see those as movers and drivers into our compensation philosophy and design. And so you almost, and Jamal, I love that you took a step back and you said, okay, well, you know, what is the origin? What is the genesis? Are we using productivity? Are we using it in the right way? We have many different model types that we try to use to match utilization type. So you might look and you might say, okay, well, this is a hospitalist. So it's a capacity-oriented model. We're buying blocks of time and we want to recognize that they don't control their volume. Or this is a cardiologist who in some way can control his volume. So we're going to put them on a productivity model. We have many different model types, but those kind of core tenets, when we think about simplification is, yes, is can we administer it? Can we explain it? Can we articulate it? Can we govern it? And so thinking about that and saying, you know, complexity of the plan, alignment to core values, scalability and governance is something that I think as Jamal, you look at your design and I look at design, we really go to each of those different model types and we say, are we able to articulate it? Or is it too complex? Is it creating governance concerns? Or is it going to kind of yield this natural link up to a quartile matching system or whatever is the governance process you think about? Is it able to scale so that we're able to add on providers without having to add and embed administrative costs? And is there a clear alignment between provider types and philosophical orientation of the organization? If it is, then we start moving forward. But that's where I see us going, Molly, where we have these core tenets, and regardless of the underlying model type, it has to be aligned.
Mm-hmm. A question for both of you. When you talk about this movement back towards simplification, was there complexity creep with compensation design over the past several years? How did things get to be that thorny or that complicated that we're now, systems are now trying to unwind them and get back to a place of rationality and simplicity like they are?
That's a great question. I'd love to answer it, but I want to hear Jamal's thoughts first because I know you deal in the space.
Absolutely. You know, we heard Stuart mention this push for financial sustainability. And some of that is, hey, we have a various amounts of fixed expenses, et cetera, that are important, right? We want to make sure we have a financially sustainable enterprise. And to do that, we do need our providers to be productive while they're in office, right? And so you started to see a lot of incentives and goals and thresholds put into place. And, you know, in typical fashion, we start to get very creative, right? It used to be like, hey, you get to the median productivity, we pay an increased rate per RVU. Then it got to, well, we want to do it at the median, we'll do it at the 60th, we'll do it at the 75th, even at the 90th. If you get that high, we want to have a different rate for that too, right? And then you get everything in between. Well, if you get to this threshold, we're going to reconcile you. So you get to the median, will reconcile you to ensure you're being paid median compensation for median work. And so you get all these extra mechanics kind of tied into place because we're trying to encourage increased productivity, increased activity versus other ways that we could probably get to the same goal. And so that's why, you know, I believe we've seen that push and now we're seeing it unwind because as Stuart mentioned, you think about the teams in place. It's like, how do you actually effectively manage those compensation plans? And more importantly, when you have the mechanics that are highly variable and highly complex, how do you ensure you're not having adjudication errors and you ensure you're paying your providers appropriately and at the right time?
And one thing, Molly, I'd add to that is in addition to kind of using the mechanics of the model to address scaling productivity, or kind of variable productivity, look at the expansion in subspecialization and look at the expansion in service offerings over the last 10 or 15 years. And so as providers subspecialize or have multiple subspecializations and organizations start to look at how do they utilize those or increase their practice offerings, it creates complexity. We have to say, okay, well, is this an unlisted code that we need to pay for? Is this something that the provider wants to do, but it doesn't fit within the kind of the framework that we traditionally offer? And so we do have complexity creep as we seek to mirror the core offerings that a provider can offer that fit within our core service lines, but also the supplemental services that they'd like to offer that we in some way need to account for the incremental effort. And so we're starting to say, okay, well, how do we create some measures of meets and bounds and boundaries and kind of pull some of that in and create more consistency, because we start to see redundancy, thankfully, in those service offerings. At one point, they were problems of first impression, but now we're starting to see that more and more individuals may offer those, and we're able to say, okay, well, now let's create more standardization around that and kind of pull that in.
Thank you so much. It's helpful to understand how we got here, but I also want to make sure we spend some time on solutions, because I think, as we all know, simplifying things sounds easy on paper, and it's really difficult. It can be very challenging. It takes a lot of work. What do you see as some of the most critical tools, resources, steps forward for systems to simplify their compensation plans? If they've heard you, what you just described resonates with them, they see themselves in a similar endeavor, what's most important for them to keep in mind? Stuart, can we turn to you first?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of two questions there, right? One is the effort of simplification. What do you do? How do you guide that? And then the other is this notion of technology adoption. And in some way, I think that you could merge those two, like you have, Molly, and you could say, we absolutely, as an organization, we have to recognize that the tool that you use can present opportunities or it can create issues. And so we all, I grew up in Excel with macros. I mean, we love what Excel can do, but we need to recognize that if you use Excel as the foundation of compensation administration, you create two issues. One, you present computational errors, the opportunity for compensation and computational errors. And two, these models can be so complex that you create an issue with organizational knowledge exit. So subject matter experts that know how to run these models, they can leave. And if they leave and you do not have a technology platform that somewhat kind of can do it itself, then you open yourself up to pain in the organization, probably is the easiest way of saying it. And so I think that organizations, as they look at technology and technology platforms, they recognize that they absolutely have to solve those two core issues, which are this computational issue of computational errors and also subject matter expert leaving. And so adopting a technology solution that's scalable, that allows us to have more nuanced and understanding of what our metrics are, is something they absolutely have to do. It's not, again, as we talked about flexibility earlier in the podcast, it's not something that they can electively do. It's something they absolutely have to do, as we have to look at greater insight and visibility into probably one of the largest line item expenditures for the medical group and for the health system in general.
Jamal, what would you add?
I think Stuart's spot on. And, you know, it's funny when we look at how the vast majority of healthcare organizations, and specifically the physician enterprises, have grown over the years is through acquisitions, right? And so sometimes we bring in new physicians, new practices. Sometimes organizations maintain historical compensation structures. What happens as you grow is that when you have 50 to 100, you know, providers, you're like, oh, I can manage that. You get to an enterprise like Stuart overseas and you have thousands of providers, all of a sudden it can get very unwieldy, both in terms of, you know, managing compensation, but also in terms of the management of those contracts. So, you know, one thing we see organizations starting to do now is, you know, let's say we look at a given specialty, we look at general surgery and orthopedic surgery. In many places, how you pay it, the mechanics, et cetera, may actually differ between two specialties. If you take a step back, maybe they don't need to be too different in terms of the compensation constructs. Yes, I probably need to pay them differently because how an orthopedic surgeon and how a general surgeon is valued in the market when you look at benchmarks and other things may be different. but the structure of the framework could actually be the same. You may need to have some specificity in terms of what quality or value-based metrics that you measure for each of those individual specialties. But again, the construct may actually need, could actually be very similar, right? And that starts to simplify the management of it. You start to group specialties. So maybe we have a construct for surgical specialties. Maybe there's a construct for primary care, a different one for cognitive specialties. So you can go from having 40 or 50 different compensation models to actually having three or four based on how you actually group your specialties. And that's one strategy that many organizations are looking at in terms of simplifying the compensation program. And then also, as Stuart mentioned, technology becomes really big. And the market has shifted significantly when it comes to technology platforms that are available. So you see like a Heisenberg 2 option that's out there. Not only do you have the ability to have the reporting and the management of the compensation plan, but there's also a contract management software component of it too. You know, sometimes we go into organizations and we request, hey, let us see your current compensation plan for the different specialties. And sometimes it's hard to actually get at the actual contracts and how things are supposed to work because they're not in the same place. You know, when Stuart talked about Excel, it's a real thing. You have someone leave and it's like that Excel model is very personal. We all have different ways that we structure them and construct them and little formulas we use. Same thing when you think about management of contracts. If that's been in the hands of one or two individuals for years, how do they actually store them? How do they track them? How often are they being updated? And so, again, having a contract management software is also very key. So we see a lot of organizations looking for those platforms that can help provide the technology that focuses on contract management and also will help them more efficiently manage the compensation program.
Thank you both. Jamal, I think your remarks there, you hit on something that in case listeners forgot in Stuart's opening remarks, you know, plans, contracts, agreements for thousands of providers across 21 states, Stuart. So that's a lot of market variables to also account for, as Jamal mentioned. As we wind down here, is there an example that each of you can share that shows how the administration that you've described with the technology, the modernization has influenced the design of compensation plans or vice versa? Any specifics come to mind that listeners would be better off keeping in mind? I think examples are always helpful when we're talking about things like this.
So maybe Molly, as I look at this, we've had a number of different changes over the last few years. I mean, we've obviously had COVID come through. We've had the CMS changes related to outpatient E&Ms, inpatient E&Ms, and there's been conversations about split shares. And we have the G2211 code. We have a lot of movement in our industry that impacts provider compensation, but also impacts the ability of being able to respond to questions in a meaningful way. And so I think about it, just the kind of the core tenets, the core items, I think that Jamal, you've expressed and I've expressed through our time together, you know, simplification and having a technology platform that allows us to be able to move and pivot in a uniform way and understand how a change, ideological change, government change, macro change, whatever it would be, how does that impact us and how do we need to respond to it? And so I think I'm taking this very specific question, which is what is a specific example, and in some way framing a larger organizational or a larger environmental response to things that are external that we have to be able to pivot to. And so I think that as we have looked at where we as Common Spirit need to be, we recognize that we need to have some measure of consistency and centralization and a technology platform that allows us to be able to continue to respond as these large changes occur.
No, thank you, Stuart. I think that's very helpful. Jamal, is there anything else you would add, whether it's an example to share or just something else to bolt onto Stuart's remarks?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to reiterate, you know, some of the workforce challenges that leaders across the country like Stuart are experiencing when it comes to the compensation program. And so simplifying the plans, as Stuart just mentioned, makes it a lot easier to actually manage the function within a health system or organization. Because you have some organizations, you think about the size and scope, you may look and say, oh, you know, we don't really need 10 analysts here to actually manage our program. But because of the complexity of the plans, the variability of the plans within and across specialties, it actually makes the workforce requirement significant. We already know there's been challenges over the last 5 to 10 years in recruitment and retention and finding the right individuals to get into your program and your function, and then also, again, retaining those individuals has been a challenge. So when you start to then simplify your compensation plans, instead of some organizations, again, using the same example, instead of me needing 10 analysts, maybe I only need 4 or 5 to actually manage my program because we've actually streamlined it. And then you even have some organizations now who say, well, now that we've streamlined things, do we even need to worry about recruitment? It's been so difficult for us to bring people in. Can we actually outsource the function to another entity similar to revenue cycle and other things that organizations have done? Can we actually outsource the analytical support for a compensation function and actually use that as a way, because we've become more efficient, you know, to take away the challenges and remove those barriers as it relates to recruitment and retention of the key talent that we need?
I want to thank each of you, Stuart and Jamal, for your time and your subject matter expertise and this great discussion today. I learned a lot from each of you. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor for this episode, ECG Management Consultants. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckerspodcast.com. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.